Shalom, this is Yair Davidi from New Bambi, Brit Am Broadcasting Israel, representing the Brit Am Ten Tribes movement. We are about to study the weekly portion. The weekly portion is now Parshat Balak. In our English Bibles, it is from Numbers 22 verse 2 to 25 verse 9, and it deals with the talking donkey, the false prophet or the pagan prophet Balaam, King Balak, and how he tried to curse Israel, and the curses turned into blessings. And this portion contains a lot of prophecies, quite a few prophecies concerning the Lost Ten Tribes, and through which we can discern where the Lost Ten Tribes are at the present time. In other words, this present portion has quite a few biblical proofs concerning where the Lost Ten Tribes are, and we believe that the Lost Ten Tribes are amongst Western peoples, and they are especially prominent amongst the so-called Anglo-Saxon, the English-speaking peoples, also amongst the Irish and the French and the Dutch and related peoples. But they came to an especially poignant expression amongst the Anglo-Saxon, the English-speaking peoples. And this, the British peoples and their offshoots in America, North America and elsewhere. And this present portion has proofs concerning that. It proves that the Lost Ten Tribes will be amongst nations that ruled the seas. Nations that were destined to become the most military powerful in all the world. Nations that would uplift other nations. That would become a civilizing influence on other peoples. Nations that would be separate from other peoples. Nations that in the end times would defeat the forces of evil. And that have a role to play in the messianic scheme of things. This is what our portion tells us. This is only part of what our portion tells us. It's a very important portion. And this is what we are about to study. If you want more details on certain matters that we may not recall in our talk, should go to our website, www.britam.org. Britam.org, 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 and there you will find a lot of material, a lot of information concerning the Lost Ten Tribes, concerning where the Lost Ten Tribes are, and articles and research notes, and a lot of material relevant to the Lost Ten Tribes, relevant to these studies, material that is presented attractively. And is interesting in its own right. As we say, the present portion is portion Balak. It is from Numbers 22 verse 2 to 25:9. And it begins with the children of Israel. They were on the other side of the Jordan, on the eastern side of the Jordan, in the pitched on the plains of Moab, just out opposite Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, as it tells us. And Balak was king of Moab, and he saw that the neighboring Amorite kingdoms of Sihon and of Og, the king of Bashan, had been conquered by the Israelites, and the Israelites had taken them over, and he was afraid. So Balak, he saw all that had been done to the Israelites. The name Balak is actually cognate. It is actually related to the Hebrew Barak. And it's interesting that now we have a prince in the USA, a prince called Barak Hossein Obama. And Barak, the king of Moab, wanted to prevent the Israelites from entering the land of Israel. He wanted to cut them off from the land of Israel. And so too does the present prince, the present president of the USA, He wants to prevent Jews from living in the Holy Land. He doesn't want Jews to dwell in Judah and Samaria. And he is preventing them from building houses. And even natural increase, he is not prepared to allow new buildings, new houses, nothing. He wants to get the Jews out of there as soon as possible, out of the Holy Land, out of the land of their forefathers. And he should take notice from this portion, but this portion is actually may serve as a warning to him, because Balak and Barak in Hebrew are related. They are, in some senses, almost the same, because the El and the Resh, Balak and Barak, interchange. Barak and Balak means a flash of light, lightning. It can also mean white. Maybe the English word black may derive from Balak. You may ask, how can the word black derive from a word which means lightning or a great flash of white? So that is up for linguists to explain to you how words derive from other words which have the exact opposite meaning. But it is nevertheless a common phenomenon, and quite a few examples could be given. His name was Balak, the son of Zippor. Zippor is the male of Zipporah. Zipporah, if you will remember, was the wife of Moses. So he was the son of Zippor. Zippor means, in Hebrew, means a bird. The word Zippor may have given arise to the English word chirp. Or also we have the English word sparrow, the most common bird in the West, in Europe, different areas, or I don't know if it's the most common bird, but is one of them, and is at least the bird that we see around most, the bird that is most attached to human existence, as if to say, to living in a human, human beings, is a sparrow. Sparrow, the word sparrow could derive from the Hebrew word tzipor. They are similar. They are, in effect, etymologically, as far as the word origins are concerned and word roots, they are the same. And this is not something that we found out on our own. We noticed it in a book by a person called Moseson, and the book is called The Word, and there he traces a great many English words to Hebrew roots. And it may be that the name of this person somehow either was related to his own superstitions, his own conjuring up, because often birds are used in auguries, are used in common folklore and pagan traditions to discern the future as a means to discern what the gods, what the higher powers want. And our portion continues and tells us how Moab, the nation of Moab, was so distressed, afraid of the people because there were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. Moab was sent unto the elders of Midian. Midian was a neighboring country, saying, now shall this country lick, in Hebrew lochech, lick and lochech. Also lochech in Hebrew is yilachech. Is lick. You have another English word identical, almost identical to the Hebrew one, having the same meaning, or almost the same meaning in Hebrew, yilachech. Lachech can mean more chew up, but it says a person who licks, he goes through to an outward observer, he goes through the same, almost the same motions. So he said that, this company shall lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. And he sent messengers therefore unto Balaam. Balaam, or Bilam. In Hebrew it is more, the pronunciation Bilam is more acceptable. Bilam, the son of Beor, to Petor, just by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. So he sent to Balaam. Balaam was some kind of religious leader. He's the chief magician. He's some type of high priest, some type of pontiff. Balaam hated, as we shall discern later, he hated the Israelites even more than Balak did. Balaam was a chief religious officiate in his time, and the Israelites were coming out of Egypt, and all these miracles and all these wondrous events were occurring to them. The Israelites were announcing to the world the doctrine that there was only one God, and the God Almighty ruled over all the earth, and he determined everything, and that there was no need for intermediaries or for pagan or for any type of pagan compromise with the truth. So Balaam received this word, this message from Balak. He lived in Pethor. The name Pethor is somewhere in the Mesopotamia, in the region of Babylon, between the two rivers, present-day Iraq. He dwelt at a place called Pethor. The name Pethor in Hebrew connotes self or open. It is cognate to the name Peter. And this is the person we are speaking of. And the message said, "Come now, I pray you, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall prevail, that we may smite them, that we may strike them, that I may drive them out of the land. For I know that you who you blessed is blessed, and he who you curse is cursed." Balaam was reputed to have spiritual powers. Balaam is said to have been able to harness the collective subconsciousness of all the non-Israelite peoples. Every one of us, every single person, we all have some type of sixth sense. Sixth sense, to some degree. Sixth sense is actually, in many, many applications of it, it may be explained by physiological experiences. We sense things, but often these things that we sense have a prosaic explanation. For instance, you may once have met someone and sensed that this person was trying to cheat you, or you met someone and you had a sense that this person was in favor of you, or that something else would happen. And if we analyze how we had these feelings, it could be that in the past someone else wanted to hurt us or to help us, and they had communicated with us through their facial expressions, through some means or other. And then we've forgotten that particular experience, but it's imprinted on our subconscious. So that when we come along and meet someone else who has a similar sentiment in our regard, we immediately sense it. And so too we go through the street and we see things or notice things, so we don't really take in consciously everything that we see, but all builds up within the supercomputer, as if to say, that comprises our brain, and often comes out or feeds us information. And that can be explained in an entirely rational manner. But since we don't know where this information comes from, we attribute it to a sixth sense. So you have to be careful. You have to be aware of this. Together with this, people do have what can be called extra-telepathic abilities. Each and every one of us sometimes at some stage in his other has some type of experience. And some people more than others. We should not necessarily dwell on it, but it does exist. Also, they say that animals too have this sense. You heard the expression of rats deserting a sinking ship. So in the old days, you used to have these ships. Ships would come into harbour, and they would throw down a rope to anchor themselves to the harbour, as if to say, to tie the ship up to the sides. And then when the seamen used to see the rats that lived on the ship skeltering down, hurrying down the rope to get away, they would have a sense that the ship was, on its next journey, was liable to sink. As if the rats themselves had a sixth sense as to what was happening, and they were deserting, they were leaving. And that is where we get the expression, like rats deserting a sinking ship, when... when things are going bad or liable to go bad, and suddenly all your former friends or assistants or people who are around you start leaving you. God forbid, it can happen, and that is where the expression comes from. Rats deserting a sinking ship. Also, dogs allegedly see ghosts and all kinds of things like that, all kinds of stories. My grandfather was claimed or said that he saw a ghost. My father also saw ghosts or extrasensory beings or whatever you want to call them. He had visions, and other people's had visions alongside him. It wasn't entirely due to his imagination or to things that he had eaten. Doesn't matter. There are a lot of stories, probably each and every one of us has some type of a story like that. Just we just have to be aware of them, not necessarily dwell on these matters too much. Sixth sense can be developed for good or bad purposes. Anyone who is so gifted in this regard should possibly keep it to himself. Should use this gift, or if he has it, with great caution. And he should be careful to what forces he ascribes it. Can be good, it can be bad, it can be neutral, and it exists. And so too we have prophets. In the Bible we have prophets. Prophet is someone who's given extra powers from on high, and these powers may combine with and enhance that which he already has. In other words, we might have a prophet. According to tradition, a prophet usually had to be someone who was an extra person. He was like a normal person, but he had extra abilities. He was stronger than everyone else, braver than everyone else, knew more, wiser. Possibly also that he had these sixth sense developed to an extra degree, more than others, and then the Almighty would choose him and add on to that which he already had. Even so, any prophet who tells us to worship idols was to be put to death according to the Bible. Also, a prophet who makes false predictions and says something will happen doesn't happen is also liable to be put to death. See Deuteronomy 18 verses 20 to 22. So this is these are the observations on the sixth sense and so on. We should take them into account when we consider the case of Balaam. Balaam received this message from Balak that he wanted Balaam to curse his people and to drive them out of the land, from the Arets. This is, according to the simple meaning, means that he should just drive them away. Drive them out of the land, drive them away, not destroy them altogether. They were not then in the land of Israel. They were about to enter the land of Israel. They were on the borders of the land of Israel. And they were in the vicinity of Balak, and he wanted to get rid of them, according to the simple meaning. But this particular expression that he used, drive them out of the land, according to the commentary Netivet Shalom, that by drive them out of the land, he meant the land of Canaan, the land of Israel that they were about to enter. And when Israelites dwell in their own land, they realize their inner being, they have more strength, their true potential begins to express itself. The land of Israel has a special quality, enables a person to realize its inner potential. I live in Israel, I've been living in Israel for the majority of my adult life, I've been in Israel more than I've been in anywhere else. And I can tell you that the land of Israel does have this quality. The land of Israel does help a person develop himself. It helps him solve personal problems. It helps him bring out forces and aspects of his personality that he did not realize were there previously. And it does help people. It is good for people. And what it does to the individual does even more, 100,000 times more to the whole community of people, to the whole community of Israelites who come to the land of Israel. The Jewish people were in exile for more than 2,000 years, and they suffered, and they had the imprint of their neighbors placed upon them. They had to act as their neighbors expected them to act. They had no choice to be what their neighbors expected them to be. The Jewish people now has returned to its land, or began to return to its land. Possibly the majority, or more than 50% of the Jewish people now lives in the land of Israel. The Jews in the land of Israel, for better or for worse, are different from the Jews outside, and new qualities of the Jewish people, such as the ability to defend themselves, to stand up for themselves, to do things and so on, are now being realized by everyone are now being shown to all the world and bringing a blessing to all the world. And so too, if this would happen to all of the tribes of Israel coming back, it would happen 100 times over, and this was what was about to happen in that time. And Balak did not want it. Balak wanted Balaam to curse the Jewish people, to curse the people of Israel, to curse the Israelite nation, in other words, the 12 tribes of Israel, that they should not enter the land of Israel. And now too, we have this person, Balak are exactly in effect the same. And he too is attempting to prevent the Israelite nations from coming into the land of Israel. And he is trying to get the Jews out of Judah and Samaria. He is trying to prevent them from settling in the land of their forefathers. And he is attempting to prevent them doing what God Almighty wants them to do, and what they are commanded to do, and what they have the natural right to do according to their ancestry. And so, we have this case when this message was sent to Balaam. And by messengers, and the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian came unto Balaam, and they told him the words of Balak. Midian, remember, the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian were together. They were united together. They were united together against the children of Israel. They all were against the people of Israel. Now today, the nations of the world, the heathens of the world, are all against the children of Israel. They're against the Israelite nations, especially against the Jewish people. More than 80% of the decisions of the United Nations are against the state of Israel. And most nations of the world are anti-Semitic. They're against the Jewish people. And this is a reality. And there's no logical reason for it, but it is a given fact that cannot be changed, or can only be changed in marginal cases. Even this small change that may be affected is worth attempting to carry out, because in times of crisis, even the marginal differences can be all the difference. So we should never underestimate the importance of even making small differences for the better. So the messengers came to Balaam. Balaam told them to stay overnight, and he will see what God tells him to do. And God came unto Balaam, we see him in Numbers 22 verse 9, and said, What men are these with you? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them, peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. He said, they covered the face of the earth. Face of the earth in Hebrew is ayin ha'aretz. It's literally the eye of the land. Ayin means eye. Ayin in Hebrew means eye. It's probably where the English word eye comes from. Eye. It's similar to ayin, and it means the same. Ayin in Hebrew not only means eye, it can also mean spring, natural fountain of water. It could also indicate a source of bounty, a source of goodness, a source of plentitude. And this expression indicates that with the appearance of the Israelite nation, matters were no longer to be conducted according to the natural order of things. From now on, a higher authority was to become the determinative element. Divine providence on a national level was to make its mark in international affairs. The people of Israel were to become the determinative element. More than half of the wealth in the world today comes from Israelite nations, or nations in which those of Israelite destiny are prominent, that is, in which the lost 10 tribes may be found, according to our definitions, according to our researches. And even that portion of the world's bounty that the world does receive, that the other part of the world does receive, that non-Israelite nations do get, even that comes largely through the intermediacy of Israelites. And the rest of the world does not suffer from this. On the contrary, they benefit. They get wealthy, or they get what they do get by virtue of Israelite endeavor and of Israelite presence. Nevertheless, they resent it. They resent Israelite predominance. The heathens do not like us. The heathens do not like the Jewish people, and they do not like the Israelite nations. They do not like the lost tribes of Israel. Most nations of the world hate America. Outside of the land of Israel, you will find a strong element of anti-American sentiment in Europe, in Asia, in Africa, wherever you go. Also hate the British, even if they don't really have any logical reason for doing so. They still express hate and resentment and prejudice against the lost tribe nations and against the Jewish people. And as for Jews are also important. Jews are also important amongst the lost tribes. They're also important amongst other peoples in the USA and other Israelite nations. The average Jew may in some way be more important than the average Joe, the average non-Jewish Israelite, from a professional or economic point of view, but this is largely an optical illusion. Statistically, when everything is taken into account, Jews are only marginally more successful than other Israelites. And the success, as we said, their relative success is only marginal. It is greater in many fields, but it is not by a great degree. Even so, this small margin that they do have can make all the difference in certain cases. It can be crucial. It can take them over the brink, and it can help them when the running is close cut, as if to say. And this, advantage that they have, as if it may really actually be attributed to their tradition of intellectual endeavor, of learning the Torah, and of sober lifestyles on the whole, on the average. I'm not saying that everyone lives in a certain way. We are saying that on the average, on the whole, more of a certain population have specific attributes than others. And that is what we mean by average, not being prejudiced at all against anyone. Portion numbers 22:12 is where we're up to, and it says, "And God said unto Balaam, you shall not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed." The Israelites are blessed. They were blessed and were to remain blessed despite whatever sins they may have committed. This was a fact. It could not be undone. Balaam realized this, and as we shall see, attempted to at least weaken or diminish the blessing giving to Israel. We have found the name Balaam, or Bilam. We have found it on an ancient inscription, which was found in what is now Jordan, in the Israelite site of Sukkot, which is recorded in the Bible as being in the tribe, in the territory of the tribe of Gad, and the modern name is Deir Allah in Jordan. And this inscription can be dated from before 750 BCE, because it was damaged by an earthquake that we know occurred at that date, so it must have been written before then. Inscription is in a mixed local Hebrew Aramaic dialect. It mentions Balaam the prophet was to curse Israel, and it is quite interesting. It's very important. This has been found. This inscription is an archaeological finding, and it refers to Balaam. And it refers to him in association with the fertility cult. And the inscription is actually typical of fertility cult inscriptions. Örjan Svensson, our friend from Sweden, who wrote the book Scandinavian Secrets, the Hebrew Code of the Runes, that may be seen, or a review of the book may be seen on our website, www.britam.org, britam.org. That is our website. Go to there and you will see more concerning the work written by Oyen. And this inscription does tie in up in what we have found in the Bible and what we have found in other biblical books. And it's quite interesting in its own right. We see further on that Balaam had tried to curse Israel, but then he was forced to bless them. Then he went away in disgrace. Immediately afterwards, the Israelites began to fornicate en masse with the daughters of Moab and Midian. They took their daughters. The daughters were given to them. They had intercourse with them. And this was part of certain pagan ceremonies that the Midianites and the Moabites held. And consequently, God was angry with the people of Israel. The people of Israel were in danger of extermination. But they were saved at the last minute through the action of Phinehas, who risked his life to kill one of the major culprits. And this whole prostituting of their womenfolk that the Moabites and the Midianites did had been done with the advice of Balaam. And so we see that Balaam was associated with promiscuous immorality. And the inscription that bears his name, that speaks of him, also refers to this attribute of Balaam. And the princes, and when Balaam rose up in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, as we see in Numbers 22:13, get you unto your land, for the Lord refuses to get me leave to go with you. He said, go with you. God had said you shall not go with them. Balaam interpreted this as meaning that he shall not go with those specific peoples, but he might go with others. God had intended that he should not go at all. But he expressed himself in such a way as to leave an opening for error, if he so wished. In the way the man wants to go, so is he led. That's what the Midrash says. No, where you want to go, God will lead you. You want to be good, God will help you be good. You want to be bad, so too. From the possibility of doing bad things will be opened up unto you. Balaam was such a person. He wanted to do bad. He wanted to attempt to curse the children of Israel, and the possibility was to be opened up unto him. Princes of Moab rose up and went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. And Balak sent again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said unto him, thus says Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray you, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote you unto you very great honor, and I will do whatsoever you sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore I pray you, tarry you also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. Balaam wanted to go. He wanted to curse the Israelites, even though he had been told that this was against the will of God. God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call you again, call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I will say unto you, that you shall do it. God let Balaam go in the way he wished, yet he forbade him to overly transgress his decree. And Numbers 22:21 tells us, and Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass, in other words his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled, because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him, and now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him, and the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. Now apparently the ass saw the angel. As we have said, animals sometimes have extrasensory perceptions. They see things that human beings do not see. And sometimes they see angels, they see ghosts, they see demons, they see things that are there and that our senses are not aware of. And so too the donkey saw the angel standing there with his sword ready to kill Balaam. As it says in Numbers 22:24, but the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a war being on this side and a war on that side. When the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself up unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. When the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down unto Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. So the ass is coming along, and the angel is standing in the middle of the pathway. So the ass thrust herself up against the wall to go around him, and she crushes his foot, the Balaam's foot, against the wall. And Balaam is angry, and he beats her. And she does this a few times, and then eventually the angel stands in a portion of the pathway where there's no possibility for the ass to thrust herself up against the wall and as if to say, push her, sneak past the angel. And so the angel refuses to advance and just goes down, kneels down. Balaam is even more angry, and he beats the ass even more. And the Lord opened up the mouth of the ass, and he said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that you have smitten to thee me these three times? First she went in the field, then she crushed his leg against the wall, then she laid down, and then she communicated. Balaam should have learned that nothing happens by chance. Sometimes impediments are placed in our path for our own good. Sometimes you can't do a thing because the Almighty does not want you to do a thing. Sometimes a certain action or a certain option that you want, that you would want to choose, is closed to you. And sometimes this is because the Almighty does not want it to be open to you for His own reasons. We have to open ourselves up. We have to look at the wider picture. We have to try and comprehend what is happening to us in our lives. The Almighty speaks to us every day. He speaks to us. He communicates with us. He tells us what He wants of us. But we have to open ourselves up to feel what is being spoken. It's not as easy as it sounds for those of us who are mortals, for those of us who have not reached a high enough level to be able to immediately comprehend what is being communicated to us through the events and through what we are hearing around us. Nevertheless, we should try. Balaam should have tried. He should have realized that something unusual, something beyond the ordinary was happening. The ass was not proceeding. The ass was trying to save him. The ass was trying to tell him something. And he should have associated that with the path he had embarked upon and connected it up with the warning he had received before embarking on this path and what had led up to it. Balaam did not do that. But now the ass is speaking unto him and warning him. And Balaam said unto the ass, because you have mocked me, would there be a sword in my hand, for I would kill you. He seems to be nonplussed, but the ass suddenly is talking to him. He took it in his stride. Perhaps he had a way of communicating with his being. Some people do. And sometimes you can get a certain rapport with animals or with other human beings, so that even speech is almost superfluous. Or whether something is communicated by thought processes or by talk, it doesn't make that much difference. The ass said unto Balaam, am I not your ass upon which you have ridden ever since I was yours until this day? Have I ever done unto you such a thing as I have done this day? And he said, no. And the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his face, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast you stroken your ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand you, because thy way is perverse before me. The ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain you and saved her life. Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Therefore, if it displease you, I will get me back again. The angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto you, that you shall speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. When Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him unto a city of Moab, which is in the border of Arnon, which is in the utmost coast. Balak said unto Balaam, did I not earnestly send unto you to call you? Wherefore camest you not unto me? Am I not able to promote you to honor? Balak apparently was a little bit uptight, a little bit upset about his initial invitation not having been accepted the first time he offered it. Balaam said unto Balak, Lo, I am come unto you. Have I not now power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. Balaam went with Balak, and they came up unto Kirat Hutzot. And so we have this whole scenario that Balak, the king of Moab, together with the elders of Midian, they send unto Balaam from Petor in the region of Babylon, and they ask him to come and curse the people because Balaam had supernatural powers. He had a way of communicating with the Almighty. He had the reputation of being able to curse or to bless, and his word had substance to it. It was able to carry out that which he wished to do. So they come to Balaam, and Balaam said he can't do anything unless God allows him to do so. In the meantime, God appeared to him and warned him not to go. And they went. The emissaries went back to Balak, and they told Balak what had happened. And Balak sent more emissaries with higher offers of a higher reward and more important people. And they came to Balaam, and this time Balaam was given permission, as if to say to go, because he obviously wanted to go anyway. On his way, the ass, the female donkey that he was riding upon, refused to go in a straight path, but she went. She thrust herself up against the wall in order not to go in the center of the path, and this crushed his foot up against the wall, and he was very angry, and he beat the ass. And she did, and the ass had done this because she had seen an angel standing in the pathway with a sword ready to kill Balaam. She was saving Balaam's life. And then they continued on, and they came to a place where the ass could not thrust herself up against the wall. The pathway was very narrow, so she just sat down. And Balaam got more angry instead of beating her, and the ass actually spoke and asked, "Why are you beating me?" And he said, because you're not doing what I tell you to do. So then the eyes of Balaam are open, and he sees the angel, and the angel speaks to him. God speaks to him through the angel, and warns him that he should only speak that which he will be instructed to do so. Only the word that I shall speak unto you, that she shall speak. So he went, continued onwards, and they came to Balak. Balak reproved Balaam a little bit, and then they went out and they prepared themselves for the curses. And we will see that when Balaam went to curse the people of Israel, instead of curses, he was forced to bless them. And these blessings indicate where the lost 10 tribes are. They are proofs as to where the lost 10 tribes are. They show us who the lost 10 tribes of Israel are now. They show us that the lost 10 tribes in the end times would be the most powerful nations in the earth, that they would inhabit all of the oceans, that they would rule the oceans, their ships would be on all the seas, and that there would be a military power with certain attributes that only the Anglo-Saxon peoples, the so-called Anglo-Saxon peoples — by Anglo-Saxon I mean the descendants of the British Isles, also the inhabitants of the USA and so on — they are the lost 10 tribes. This is what our portion tells us. This is where the lost 10 tribes are. And there's proof of it. For more information, go to our website, www.britam.org, BRITAM.org. We will continue and examine the prophecies that Balaam spoke and show how they relate to the lost tribes of Israel in another talk. In the meantime, this is Yair Dabidi from New Bambi, the Brit Am 10 Tribes Movement. See our website, www.britam.org, BRITAM.org. Also, for more on this subject, for more concerning the prophecies of Balaam and how the prophecies of Balaam prove where the lost 10 tribes are, see our next talk on this subject. Thank you.